War correspondent Anna Botkin has covered some of the world's most brutal conflicts, from Iraq and Afghanistan to Chechnya and Somalia. However, her memories are not only of the devastation she witnessed. In a new book, Peace Meals, she shares her memories of the people she met and explains how they're able to sit down and enjoy a meal in the midst of conflict. Wherever Anna Botkin went, she broke bread with the people she wrote about. Those meals, she says, helped her open the door into those people's lives.
You wake up, you see your family, you spend a day working or trying to survive, and then at the end of the day, if you're lucky, you eat. And that's where most of the important conversations happen.
While meals are usually a time for families to reconnect, she says they become even more significant in a war zone.
Imagine a day you spent navigating a minefield. Imagine a day that you're not sure will ever end. And then the day ends, and you come home, and you sit down with your family, and you celebrate. You celebrate your survival of that day in a war zone. And you share what families share at dinner tables. You know, how was your day? What are you thinking about? What are you hoping for? Most intimate conversations, I think, happen around dinner tables.
Sometimes, she says, dinner was bread and fried egg in a farmer's hut. One time, it was a lavish four-course meal at the home of a local warlord. There is a story behind each of the meals Botkin describes.
One of the most memorable meals in my life was actually a handful of raisins that a very poor shopkeeper in a village in Afghanistan gave me. The village was about to starve. There was no food. The nearest market town was 17 hours walking away, and nobody had a car. And this man saw me and immediately assumed the role of a host, because as a stranger, I was his guest. And he shared with me the only thing he had, which was a handful of gnarled, green, sandy raisins.
The subtitle of the book, Candy-Wrapped Kalashnikovs, came from a very different sort of encounter.
In 2001, I was assigned a group of gunmen to help assist with the safe passage from Jalalabad in eastern Afghanistan to Kabul, the capital. And sometime along the road, my bodyguards became robbers, and they tried to rob me at gunpoint. And the guns that they pointed at me were wrapped with various different candy wrappers, pink and yellow and blue Hubba Bubba wrappers and Donald Duck stickers pointing at me from the muzzle of a Kalashnikov. And I thought it was a very surreal situation where I'm about to maybe get killed, but the gun looks like a cartoon character.
The guns were put away when Botkin offered the men more money, and she arrived safely in Kabul. Money was also an issue in a marketplace in the Iraqi capital, but this time, basic human decency won out.
While we were shopping, a little pickpocket reached into the backpack of my colleague and tried to steal his wallet. And immediately, a crowd surrounded us, a crowd of people who said that they were there to protect us. Imagine this. Imagine a country that is burning. Looting is everywhere. People are being shot at. Things are blowing up. Cars are blowing up. Buildings are blowing up. And here are a group of lower middle class Iraqis who are standing around us like a wall and telling me that they don't want me to think that Iraqis are not a hospitable people, because that's what mattered to them, that I understood that they're good people.
In a chapter she titled Spice Girls, Botkin introduces readers to the two female Iraqi translators she worked with in 2003.
Shada and Sana, they're two wonderful young Iraqi women. We became friends very quickly. We shared love of art and had wonderful conversations that had nothing to do with war and everything to do with life. We talked about what women talk about, children, parents, boyfriends, husbands, marriage. Over the next 7 years, our lives took us to completely different places. Shada ended up living in northern Iraq as a refugee, Sana married a Bahraini man and moved to Bahrain, and I moved to the United States, but we kept in touch. And it amazes me still that despite the fact that we so rarely are able to see each other and we live under such different circumstances, our friendship has persevered.
Anna Bodkin says she learned many lessons from the people who live in war zones, not only about food and friendship, but more importantly, about life. When the possibility of death is so close every day, she says, you appreciate life all the more. For writer Faiza El-Masri, I'm Faith Lapidus, VOA News, Washington.